Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again. Thank you, Father, for the assurances we have in your word, who you are, who our Savior is, and what is ours through Christ. We thank you that you have blessed us. We thank you that the gift of everlasting life and the willingness of your Son to do that for us truly comes under the category of what Paul spoke of as the unspeakable gift. How we praise you. Thank you for this service this evening, and we pray that the time that yet remains would be to your glory and honor. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Well, let's give you a chance to talk just a bit. Tell me some things that last, some things that endure, some things that don't change. Pardon? God's Word. God Himself. Gift of eternal life. His love for us. Let's flip it over. Tell me some things which change. Huh? Bills don't change. Bills do change, huh? Well, we do live in a world where it seems like everything around us changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. But you know, I thought this evening, and Andrew, if you'd like to write a title down, why don't we call this Some Enduring Things? Some Enduring Things. And by the use of that word, I don't mean, oh, life is so tough and miserable, I just have to endure. I just look for things to get better. Oh, what a miserable lot is mine, as I just, that's not what I mean by just enduring things. I'm talking about things that, as I ask at the get-go, some things that last. We don't have an outline for you note takers. This is going to blow your whole thing this evening. No outline. We're just going to give you some words and references, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. You can make an outline out of it later if you want to. I'd be happy to see it when you're all done, okay? But as we talk about some things that endure, we didn't take much time, but God, His Word, His love, those were three things that quickly come back to my mind. And we're going to look, we'll perhaps look at some of these, but hopefully we can add some other things that'll be a blessing to you. And from the get-go, are we saying that everything that we're going to give this evening is, that's it? There isn't anything else about God or in His Word. No, we're not making that claim either. We've just chosen some things that hopefully will be a real blessing to you. And the thought that's in my heart and in my mind is, you know, we watch the news. We look around and we see what is going on. And in all honesty, sometimes it does bring just a little bit of consternation. It does bring just a little bit of questions in our minds, doesn't it? As we watch the news and the reports of threats by other nations, nations like North Korea that now claims that it has nuclear warheads that can reach any city in the United States. And we wonder, wow, what's ahead? Was it yesterday, Jerry, or was it the day before we watched the evening news? And by mistake, did you catch this? By mistake, in Hawaii, there was a warning that was issued, and for 28 minutes before they could get it stopped and say, don't worry about it, this was a false alarm, it was shouldn't have been sent. For 28 minutes, the people in Hawaii, either yesterday or Friday, were told to prepare themselves, a missile is coming to the island. There were people reported on the news that were recording on their phones what they thought might be their final messages to their loved ones. Well, changes. It was a false. Somebody by mistake pushed a wrong button, sent out the signal. But what if it would have been real? We have no guarantees, do we, about tomorrow or next week or next month? Because things are changing. But the thing that I'm hoping and praying for, that tonight as we look at a list of perhaps a dozen, 15 things here, we can take this home, we can pull this list out and say, Father, I thank you that I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I thank you that I can count on this. This isn't going to change. There may be no stability. There may be no continuance of certain things, but this I can count on. Number one is His mercy. Where would we be without God's mercy? Mercy is what now? It's not getting what you really deserve, especially by way of punishment or chastisement or even just good things in life. Psalm 136 addresses that. Psalm 136. Have you ever looked at that particular psalm? I'm sure you have. And this is one of those that it was used in most likely public worship where there was a reader and there was a group of people that were responding. A certain phrase would be given, statement would be made, and then there would be the response. And sometimes I must confess, as I have read this chapter, I mean, after all, there's 26 verses of it. And the unique thing about this verse is what? Every verse says what? For His mercy endureth forever. And I confess to you that there have been some times that, would you dare believe that sometimes I've been in a hurry when I've been reading God's Word? And I tell myself, I'm sure, Lord, you understand. I know that you say your mercy endures forever in every verse. So I'll just read the first part of every verse. Don't tell me nobody else has ever done that in this room. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I think probably some of you have done the same thing, but really when we stop to realize it, why was it that the Holy Spirit prompted the psalmist to write this down? Because this is such an important truth. His mercy does endure forever. Our God is a merciful God, and He wants His own to find great comfort in that. We go back to Psalm 52, and we find the second topic that we might mention in Psalm 52, verse 1. This would be one of those that would come under, we might talk about a general heading. Goodness, the goodness of God. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. God's goodness, His mercy endures forever. And His goodness. Could I see the hands of anyone, or maybe I ought to say everyone here, whose goodness always shines and goodness always is demonstrated and goodness is always your response to those around you? May I see those hands? It's not within us, is it? Even as believers, I mean, our Lord, there's no end to His goodness. And we saw this morning in Romans 8:29 that God's will for your life and mine is that we be conformed to the image of His dear Son. There was no end of His goodness in His dealings with others. But there wasn't the one of us that could raise our hands and say, I've arrived. I've arrived, and now goodness, goodness is always the way I respond to others around me. Sometimes, truth of the matter is, we're just boogers to the people around us, aren't we? We're anything but kind. We're selfish. We're out of fellowship with the Lord. We say things we shouldn't say. Our attitudes stink. And there's not goodness. One of the things that was characteristic among the heathen nations that were bound in their worship of false gods was the belief that their gods were vindictive and their gods were, you better please this god or else. But what's the truth about our God? Our God is good, and His goodness is always evident. It endures forever. Psalm 100. In verse 5, we sing these words. Excuse me. And we find another reference to the trait that we just looked at. The Lord is good, verse 5. His mercy, that was the first one we looked at, is everlasting. But here we see the third thing. His truth, it endureth. There's something that lasts. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth His truth lasts. Psalm 117, verse 2. Says, His merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. God's truth. Does that give you security, peace, or does God's truth cause uneasiness in your heart, in your mind? How many of you would say, I find great comfort in knowing God's truth? Anybody? Sure we do. How would you feel if we had a God who was always changing his mind and who was always changing his word? What security would that give us? Well, last week, this was God's truth. Last week, this is what God said was right. But it's not the same this week. I don't know what God's truth. I don't know what God's word and answer is, because he's always changing and then tell it, well, now this is truth. Next week, that might be truth. And next month, that might be truth. Aren't you glad that we know that God's word doesn't change? And it's the truth. We live in a day and age today when many, I would say probably the majority of people, they do not have a standard whereby they determine what is right or wrong. The majority of people have no source that they would go to answer the question, what is right and what is wrong? The Christian has the Word of God. We are in the minority. We have, for instance, standards in God's Word that have not changed. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And do you know what was sin 3,000 years ago? Would it surprise you to know that it's still sin in the 21st century? Because God's truth doesn't change. We are the peculiar ones. We are the unusual ones. Because to answer a question of right or wrong, we have a source book, don't we? We have a place where we can go and we can say, the Bible says, this is sin. The Bible says this is good. The Bible says this is perversion, and it is not right. God's truth doesn't change, and it endures forever. Doesn't matter what society says. For us, the question is, I want to know what God says. I want to know what God says. And because his truth endures forever, we can build our lives and we can be assured and find great encouragement from that. Psalm 111, let's look at another thing. Psalm 111, verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. and his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 112, verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Look at verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. His righteousness, truth, equity, honesty. There is this feature, this quality about God, which endures forever. We call it righteousness. Well, we all have righteousness too, don't we? We're all righteous, right? What's it say in Romans chapter 3, in chapter 10? There is none righteous, no, not one. We have no righteousness in ourselves, but through God's work and through the finished work of His Son and by God's grace to us and His mercy to us, giving us what we don't deserve, we can be dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's righteousness never varies. We had none on our own. Through Christ, God sees us as righteous. But that is an imputed righteousness to us. We didn't get it. He had to give it to us. And it's just like His, which never changes, and it endures forever. Look at Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. His praise endureth forever. What do you mean, His praise endureth forever? What does that suggest to you? There's always something we can praise Him for. And when we do that, He is always what? Worthy of it. When you stop to think about that, our God is so great that any time and for anything that is truth, that we would want to utter a praise to Him for, He's worthy of it. Doesn't matter what it is that comes to our mind, if it's the truth about Him, our God. That's always the right thing to do, to praise Him. To praise Him. His praise endureth forever. There's always something we can praise Him for, but you know, even in the book of Revelation, the picture of eternity in the future, do you know that the praise to God is going to continue to be given and offered to Him? It's not going to stop someday. There's no time when God is going to say, okay, you've praised me enough. I don't want to hear your praise anymore. But in the book of Revelation, that's something that is going to be ongoing. Because of who He is and what He has done, and because of His nature and His greatness and His goodness, His praise is just always the thing that ought to be offered to Him. What a great God. Let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever. We touched on this a while ago. The truth of God which endures forever, but everything that God has told us in his word, every judgment that God has made, it endures forever. And what, as I said a few moments ago, what was sin in God's word 3,000 years ago is still sin today, because his righteous judgments, what God has declared about certain things, endures forever. Society changes, the thoughts of people change, but God's word and what he has said and what he has determined, we can count on it. Praise God for that. Psalm 135. We look at verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. In Psalm 72, it tells us in verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. His name, God's name, is something that endures. Never mind what laws are passed, never mind what government may say, what judges may say, you can't make reference to this name. You can't pray to this name. You can't do this or that. God's name is going to endure forever. Praise God for that. Psalm 145. And we notice in verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Who has the right to rule and reign in this world? God does. He's the one. He's the one that oversees. He's the one that is in control of everything, and he's the one someday that is going to orchestrate all of the events, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess before him that he is Lord, and all nations are going to bow before his name. It's his right. He's worthy. His dominion, his authority, his power lasts forever. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we find something else that Peter refers to. We know this, we speak of it, we've even mentioned it a while ago. But in 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, Peter gets a little bit more specific. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, in verse 24. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but here's what endures. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. On the authority of God's enduring word, Peter says, you can know that his truth will never change. We spoke of that some moments ago, but now he specifically made reference to the word itself. Go way back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We sing this sometimes. Maybe you'd already thought of it. But it says here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. Fear of the Lord, what is that? That is that reverence for Him, that respect for Him, that honor that we ought to be giving Him for who He is and what He has done, what He has given to us, how He has blessed us. And that fear, that respect that God is so deserving of, it endures forever. Psalm 9, verse 7. This one should be no surprise. But what's this tell us? What is it that endures forever in Psalm 9, verse 7? The Lord. The Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment. The psalmist spoke of it as well in Psalm 102, in verse 12 and in verse 26. When he says, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." What is it? Well, the Lord Himself. We're never going to have to wonder if the Lord is going to wear out, if He's someday just going to cease to be. He's going to be forever. Psalm 104. You're right there at Psalm 102. Look at verse 31 of Psalm 104. Verse 31, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." When you think of the glory, what comes to your mind? His reputation, His, what we remember Him for, how good He has been to them. But think a little bit more literal when we think of the glory of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, it tells us there will be no sun in the new Jerusalem. Why? Pardon? He will be our light. That's His glory. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and spent time with God and he came down? What was the lasting side effect as far as Moses was concerned? And he didn't even recognize it. What were the people seeing? There was a glowing reflection off of Moses' face because Moses had been in the presence of the Lord. That glory is going to endure forever. That glory is going to be the light of the new heavenly city, according to the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem. We won't need the sun or the moon or the stars. He's going to provide all the light. What a thought. Well, there's one more thing, and that's in John 6:27. Like I said, are you suggesting that you've gone through everything? No, I'm not suggesting that. But hopefully, as we've picked some things, we have given you something to think about and something to praise the Lord for. John 6:27, Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." That was when he came and there were people wanting him. And Jesus said, "I'm not fooled. The only reason you're coming is because you want to see the miracles and you know that I've fed you with food." Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Everlasting life will endure forever. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall" what? "Never perish." Jesus said, I have for you what will never end. I would be happy to give. I give you the gift of life. Don't be so caught up with the temporal, but think about those things that last forever. Well, in a world where so much is continually changing, where we hear those disturbing things on the news, and sometimes we look at each other and we ask ourselves, wow, what's coming? What's ahead? We don't know. The Lord does. But these are some things that are going to endure forever that we've looked at this evening. There's nothing in the world that can touch any of the things that we have mentioned tonight. What security for the believer? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the things that we've been able to look at as we've just surveyed from place to place in your word, things that endure forever. We thank you, Lord, to realize this, why even these old bodies of ours, they're made of dust, clay, and these old bodies grow weary, but you have given to us the gift of everlasting life, and one day you're going to give us a body made like unto your Son's glorious body, and that as well will endure forever. As we are the recipients of the gift of everlasting life, thank you for these things that you have shown us concerning you, your will, your ways, your character, your nature. Take us safely to our homes. We thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. And you are dismissed.